The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fella, who's the Regional Director, Patient Services, and the Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. Ann, say good morning to our listening audience at WTBQ.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here.
Okay, it's great to be here. And joining us later on in this program will be Hannah Plummer. He's the Director of Patient Services from our New York City office. As I said, A&T Healthcare, we are a home healthcare agency. We have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, and New York City. That's where Hannah will be calling in from. And our corporate office is in New City, New York. We at A&T Healthcare, we're very honored to be broadcasting every Thursday, making us a part of your Thursday morning. And it is a pleasure that we are following the Three Amigos, because I think they might help our ratings somewhat, because they have all people following them
Lots
throughout.
Lots of good information.
With all the good information. But as our show, it's about health-related topics and subjects. As I say, we're never controversial, contentious, or confrontational. But we are engaging, informative, and I want to say we're entertaining. And I always say that it's always part of it, that we want people to be coming back. I want us to enjoy the show. We want it to be educational. And we do accept any phone calls that you may have on the subject. The phone number is 845-651-1110. That's 845 area code, 651-1110. And thank you for making us part of your Thursday morning. Well, let's get started. First off, we would like to give a shout-out to our veterans. Yesterday was Veterans Day, and I know Health Matters, we did have a program, you know, on the veteran services, and it was very informative about what's available, but we do appreciate all that you do and all that you've done for our country, keeping it safe, particularly with all the stuff that's going on in the world. We really have to respect our veterans more and more each day. One of the things that we have to say is that we do provide services, A&T Healthcare, we do provide services to our veterans.
We have contracts with the Bronx VA, Castle Point VA, and Upstate Albany VA, and we do service quite a few veterans and care that they need.
Okay, and that's what's important, that we are available. Just call our corporate office at 845-638-4342. Just go online and A&T Healthcare, and you can find all the information if you're interested to see any services that you may be needing, particularly if you are a veteran. Well, November is a very busy month. And did you notice that? It's our month. It's a home healthcare month. So a shout out again to all our employees at A&T Healthcare and all the offices. Let's keep doing the good work and everything, and that's what's important, okay? Providing the service, as I said, home health care. We always talk about this, about the healthcare delivery system paradigm has changed, is that now they want people to leave the nursing homes and the hospital, and we want them to stay in the home setting, and that's really where we come in to fill those particular gaps.
You don't want to stay too long in the hospital. You want to be discharged as soon as you're able, and home care certainly can provide the next level of care for you.
That's right. Now, I'm scheduled for surgery. That's okay. I tell everyone my health histories and stuff, whether they want to hear it or not. But I am going to be scheduled for a knee replacement surgery on December 8th. And I just want to know, I'm seeing the doctor this afternoon. I'm going to say, how soon can I get back to my home? And I'll have my physical therapist come to my house, so I can get better, okay? I feel I'd be much more better being in my home setting. People could come visit me and stuff like that. So it is very different, but it is very important.
That's true.
It is Movember. I know we talked about that. Movember is where we give attention. Well, you're supposed to be growing a mustache. That's what I was joking about. I know Taylor thought my mustache looked pretty good. But it's a lot of work to grow a mustache, particularly because I always say I'm facially hair challenged and stuff like that. But anyway, it looks like you can see the outside of everything. So I am growing a mustache. And as I've been doing, people are commenting on it. That's when I jump in and I say that, you know, this has to do with be aware of men's health issues, particularly prostate cancer, which is the second leading cause of cancer in men. Testicular cancer is the leading cause of death for individuals between 18 and 34. And even as far as like mental health, they're saying that, you know, an adult, it could be anywhere from 1 to 4 adults that may have some form of mental illness throughout the course of the year. And then the last one, and this is the one that we keep pushing, they're saying that only 53% of the men adhere to the government guidelines for physical activity, which means that 47% are not actually doing it,
That's a very large number.
So you really have to be aware, and that's what a lot of our theme, we keep talking about healthy lifestyle and health matters, and that's why we're giving you some different clues. I do want to very quickly, and if I could just give a quick shout out to my class up at Kingston. We have a PCA class that is in full throttle, and I just want to give a shout out to them. They're doing an excellent job. And they're going to be ready. They're waiting and very anxious to start working. But there's a lot of information that they have to learn. They're doing a great job. And I'm looking forward to them graduating, okay? I always make a big fuss about that.
Yeah.
There's also something else that's going on in the month of November, and that is Diabetes Awareness Month. And as such, that is what our program will be today. On diabetes, we do accept calls, as I said. If anyone has any questions or comments on diabetes, you know, the phone number is 845-651-1110. All right, so today's program, we're talking about diabetes, and diabetes is what is called a chronic disease. I know I've sent that numerous times. You've heard that expression. A chronic disease is a disease that you have for a long period of time that you cannot cure, but you can actually manage. And they were saying that it affects almost 10% of the U.S. population. And I just want to know that these facts and statistics we have are from the American Diabetes Association. But I was astounded that 10% of the U.S. population are afflicted with diabetes. And there's also the National Institute of Health. They estimated that at least 7 million Americans have diabetes. But are you ready for this? But they are unaware of their condition. And that's over like 27% of all diabetic cases in the United States. So 7 million people that are walking around that are diabetics and they don't even know about it. One of our major mantras as with health matters, why? Because your health does matter, is the prevention of disease and maintaining a healthy lifestyle. And what we will be doing today is we'll be going over the dynamics of diabetes. We'll talk about the risk factors, the symptoms, and what you can do to prevent or, if necessary, manage your diabetes. As I always say on Health Matters, is that you always have to communicate with your doctor. Being proactive, that's part of what we're doing. We want to educate you that these are things that you can discuss with your doctor. Okay, the disease can have serious consequences just because it's very common, but there can, in fact, be a lot of serious consequences to your quality of life. And being educated on how it can affect you, you'll have a better understanding as far as what you can do. And as we always say, it's always important that early detection and treatment of diabetes can decrease your risk of developing complications, and that's what's so important about it. When you hear like 7 million people are diabetics and they don't realize it, they should be doing, you know, there's a lot of things that they can be doing at this particular time, and they're not doing it because they don't know about it. But that's what's important, the early detection and the treatment that's necessary. So let's start, and tell us, what exactly is diabetes?
Well, diabetes is a disorder of the metabolism. That's the way our body digests food for growth and energy. There are three main types of diabetes. Just as Peter mentioned, November is Diabetes Awareness Month, and the American Diabetes Association is celebrating its 75th anniversary.
Wow, 75 years.
So they've been very active in that association in promoting awareness and also, you know, lobbying for changes in treatment for diabetes. And we know, you know, 75 years ago, it was treated a lot differently than it is now. And people.
And what's their theme that they're calling it this year?
This year's theme is Eat Well.
Ah, so Eat Well.
We talk
well.
About okay. that a lot on the show, and they state that eating well is one of life's greatest pleasures, and enjoying delicious foods, healthy foods, helps with diabetes management. So
okay, that's it. So just knowing what you're eating, and that's all part and parcel to the healthy lifestyles. Do you have any statistics, Anne, that we can...
I do, actually. You said 10% of the population in the U.S. are affected by diabetes, and that's 30 million
wow.
Children and adults in the U.S., so that's 10% of the population. And they predict that 86 million Americans have pre-diabetes and are at risk for developing type 2 diabetes, and we'll talk about that a little further
on. We'll go over the different types of diabetes.
Recent estimates project that as many as 1 in 3 American adults will have diabetes by the year 2050.
Okay, and a lot of this we'll be talking about, like obesity, about children are young and that sort of stuff.
African Americans and Hispanics are almost twice as likely to have diabetes as non-Hispanic whites.
Okay, and you're listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we will give you a quiz on your understanding of diabetes.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the 5 boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Sarah O'Connell.
And this is Jonah Treeblosser.
And we're the hosts of Radio Rotary, heard every Saturday morning at 11:30.
Each week we chat with your neighbors about great things happening in your community and around the world.
Radio Rotary.
Right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
This is Wayne Patterson of Better Homes and Gardens Rand Realty and host of The Real Estate Show, heard every Monday at 10 a.m. where you can learn how to buy and sell properties on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ, feeling all right. Feeling all right. Welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fella, Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fella, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services, also at A&T Healthcare. Good morning. Today's show, as you know, a lot of things are happening in November, but it is November is Diabetes Awareness Month, and that's what our program is on. What we wanted to do right now is we wanted to...
I'm going to give you a quiz.
I'm going to be quizzed. Okay, so let me see how good... As I said, I've been a nurse for well over 34 years. Wow. I want to say I have my finger on the pulse as far as reading it and being as knowledgeable as possible, okay. But Anne... Go ahead. Ask me those questions.
I
want to
see what your blood sugar IQ is.
Okay. So this is different from my regular IQ.
Okay,
I shouldn't worry.
We won't grade it. So here's the first question. Healthy foods don't raise blood sugar.
True.
False.
Really?
Eating more than 45 to 60 grams of carbohydrates per meal, no matter what the source, can raise your blood sugar. So count carbs, even when you're eating wholesome fruits, whole grains, starchy vegetables like peas.
Oh, boy. I always remember we had a nutritionist on, and you know, people say, oh, gee, I think my sugar's high because of all the food I'm getting. Oh, don't worry. Okay, one more. Go ahead, next one.
So, even if I follow my treatment plan perfectly, I may have high blood sugar readings.
I'm going to say true.
That is true. Many factors such as stress, dehydration, certain medications, lack of sleep, can drive your blood sugar up, as well as infections. So monitor your blood sugar as prescribed by your physician, and at times you might have to do it more often.
Okay. Third question.
The next question is, once you start insulin for type 2 diabetes, you're on it for life.
Gee, I'm going to say, because it's a chronic, I'm going to go with true.
Well, actually, that's false.
Oh, boy, I really did need this. Oh, I really did need this show. Oh, boy.
Insulin can help people with type 2 diabetes gain rapid control of their blood sugar. If they are able to achieve and maintain a healthy weight and blood sugar and incorporate physical activity into their everyday routine, they might be able to control without insulin.
Okay. Go ahead.
People can always tell when their blood sugar is high or low.
True.
False. As you said, there are people that don't know that they're a diabetic. Sure. You may know that feeling lightheaded often signals a drop in your blood sugar, or frequent urination means your sugar's high. But the fact is, you can't always rely on body signals. And that's why often you check your blood sugar. And number five is, even someone who's very obese can improve their diabetes by losing a little weight.
That's true.
That is true. Absolutely. Losing only 7% of your body weight can improve your blood sugar. So if you weigh 200 pounds and you lose 15 pounds, you can help improve your blood sugar.
Wow, that's just that little bit. We have a caller on the line. Good morning and welcome to Health Matters.
Good morning, Peter. This is Hannah from A&T Healthcare in Manhattan office.
All right, Hannah, I was leading up to you. Hi, happy home healthcare month.
Same to you.
Okay. We have a lot of, really, Hannah, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I know it's very busy at the New York City office. And actually, I'm heading down there to the city. So if I give you a call asking me which subway I should be taking to get to Union Square, be greatly appreciated. No, I asked him that one. He knew, right here, take this one here, and get off there and that sort of stuff. But if you get a call from me later, Hannah, that's what it would be. Hannah, we're talking about diabetes. That's what our program is for today. And I was wondering if you could really, first question I wanted, could you tell us something about the difference between type 1 diabetes and then type 2 diabetes?
Okay, so type 1 diabetes is occurs because of insulin-producing cells of the pancreas are destroyed by the immune system. So that means it's usually congenital. They're born having that condition.
Oh, okay.
Right.
And type 2 occurs later in life. And it produces some insulin, but not enough. There's more than one type of type 2, though.
Exactly. So type 1 diabetes, those people produce no insulin.
Correct.
So they can't control their blood sugar at all. And yes, it's often discovered when you're a young child, and most commonly starts with people under the age of 20. So.
Wow.
They used to call it childhood diabetes, I think.
Correct, yes.
Right? Okay.
Okay, what about, let's talk a little bit now about type 2 diabetes, and that's the one I believe that's more common.
It is the most common.
Let's talk a little bit about type 2 diabetes. Now, one of the things that I had, if you heard the beginning of the show, is that we were saying is that approximately like 7 million individuals are diabetics, and they don't even realize that they are, so they're not getting the proper treatment, they're not doing the proper maintenance that they should do. And a lot of times, I'm sure it's under this particular category, type 2 diabetes.
Yes. And in type 2, it can usually control by weight. You know, if somebody lose some weight,
right,
that will help.
Right. Because a lot of times with type 2 diabetes, for people over, say, the age of 40 who are overweight, if they can get control of that weight, they can help control that blood sugar.
No.
Diet and exercise is very important in controlling type 2 diabetes. Now, there are sometimes, correct, Hanif, that even though you have your weight under control, you might have to take medication.
Correct. Usually oral, and sometimes you may have to take insulin also.
That's correct.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard. I didn't do so good on the quiz, Hanif, so I think this is very, very informative.
That's right.
That was one of the questions. If you're on insulin, are you on insulin for the rest of your life? And I thought that you were, but in actuality, you can if you're able to to start.
Right, that's a rapid correction of the high blood sugar. And if your blood sugar is very high, certainly insulin is going to be the go-to medication. But if you get your weight under control and also your cholesterol and triglycerides, that will help to keep your blood sugar under control. And possibly you won't have to take insulin, and sometimes you won't have to take that oral medication either.
Also, I've seen where some people develop diabetes from taking certain medications.
That's
like,
true.
Oh, wow. Really?
That's absolutely true. There are some medications will affect your body's ability to produce insulin, and that will bring your blood sugar up. So certain medications, you do have to monitor your blood sugar on a regular basis.
And then there's also a third form of diabetes, and that's gestational diabetes. That's for pregnancy. Want to talk a little bit about that, Anne?
There is a form of diabetes. It's called gestational diabetes, which is triggered by pregnancy, and hormone changes during pregnancy can affect a woman's body's ability to produce insulin. And this only occurs in about 4% of pregnancies. Pregnant women who are at risk of developing gestational diabetes are those over 25, are above their normal body weight before pregnancy and have a history of diabetes in their family or gestational diabetes, so in their family.
Yeah, but there's always going to be something that's going to be talking about
Right, and when you're pregnant, they do send you for blood work and they do check your blood sugar to see. And if you're gaining a lot of weight, sometimes that's a trigger. So.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit. What are the thing about the symptoms of diabetes? Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think Tom Hanks was just recently diagnosed as a diabetic, if I'm not mistaken. And you look at him, he's very healthy, he's been an actor and all this stuff. But one of the questions, like the early warning signs of diabetes, it can be a little bit difficult because it's fairly common that, the symptoms. Let's go over what some of the signs and symptoms are of someone, who may have a form of diabetes.
Hanif, do you want to
Yes, like urinating often.
Right.
Oh, have to find a bathroom very often.
And really what that process is it's getting rid of the extra sugar that's in your body. That's what causes the person.
Right, so your kidneys are working very hard.
Very hard to get rid of this sugar, and then that's why you'd be going to the... Okay, good. What else?
And feeling very thirsty.
Right.
Because
you're becoming more dehydrated, so you're avoiding and...
Also feeling very hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I guess...
But
your sugar is high and then you're
actually...
And
extreme fatigue.
Sure, absolutely. People who... You're very tired and you're not sure why you feel so tired. And that could be, something that you might want to check out.
Blurry vision.
Blurred vision.
And also cuts or bruises that slow to heal. So sometimes someone might get a cut that they didn't even realize that they have diabetes, and that's when they found out.
We've talked about that, Hanif. I know I've had my experience from working at. I remember there was a young man. When I say young man, he's probably in his late 30s, early 40s, which is definitely a young man. Yeah. Anyway, he was a diabetic, and he had a wound on his leg, and I don't know. I guess he kind of ignored it. And he knew he was a diabetic. Long story short, he wound up having a below-the-knee amputation. I remember him talking to me about it. And sometimes that's one of the daunting problems of someone with diabetes is that if you have a cut or some kind of wound, that it's a very arduous process to have it to heal itself, as well as, you know, preventing you from getting a more systemic kind of infection. But that's something he just said, oh, it's just like a little bruise up my knee, and I just kept wiping it and doing this.
And it does usually occur on the extremities, you know, your hands, your feet, your legs. And think about healing that, if not taking care of that wound and healing it, now it's resulted in an amputation, which now has another healing process.
Right.
And you're already slow to heal because circulation is affected. So it can be even more daunting.
Right, but that's something, and we always like stress this. I said it at the beginning, is that you have to have your relationship with your doctor, okay? You have to know about it. Like, that's why even regular checkups that you have to have to find out. But as I was saying earlier, the sooner you detect it, the sooner you can start changing your lifestyle, getting the proper treatment, and you can lower the chance of complications. But I think that is an extreme example of complications, but we see it quite often.
That and dialysis, because the kidneys are working so hard, so you end up on dialysis.
So. Right.
Also, weight loss, which is usually for type 1.
Right.
You know, putting on weight. And tingling pain or numbness in the hands and feet, and that's for that numbness. Sometimes when they get that, maybe step on something and it hurt the bottom, the soles of the feet, they didn't realize that it happened, and then all of a sudden they have a wound on the sole of the feet.
That's right.
And then go to the doctor, now they're diagnosed with diabetes.
And you know, not everybody checks the sole of their feet all the time. And if you aren't feeling, you know, if you have numbness, you're not feeling that there's something there, so you're not detecting that. And you know, there's some good ways to check the bottom of your feet if it's difficult for you. Get a mirror, put it on the floor, and just put your foot over the mirror so that you can take a look at, you know, your foot.
And that's your foundation, okay? You have to have a good foundation with your posture and walking and things like that. So you really have to make sure that it is clean and it's dried and you don't have anything that's actually going on.
And certainly if you do have diabetes and you sustain a cut on your foot or anywhere, you should really, you know, get to your physician and, you know, see if there's any particular treatment that they would want for you. Because also having an injury and possible infection can bring your blood sugar up. You know, that would have to be managed.
No, they're even saying, like, even with stress, I mean, even something like stress, that also could, you know, raise, you know, your blood sugar. And that's all part of, like, I always say to you that you have to know your body. And if something doesn't seem right, that's something where you should be able to, you know, discuss with your physician, particularly with something like this. You really don't want to be messing with something like this or just shrugging it off. It's no big deal as far as that. Are you listening to Health Matters? And my name is Peter Fellow from A&T Healthcare. And when we come back, we're talking about diabetes. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of the risk factors that you may have for type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
A&T Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home healthcare aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. A&T Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric, high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Austin DuBois of Bluestein Shapiro, Rich & Barone. Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for It's the Law and learn what the law is. Ask questions, get answers right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
everybody. This is Rachel Ray. Join me today and every weekday with Rach on the Radio. I'll have tips to save you money, celebrity chit-chat, and, of course, food. All from the kitchen table of our Emmy Award-winning show, Rachel Ray.
Weekdays at 12:30.
WTBQ Weather.
Cloudy skies and windy today. It'll be mild in the mid-50s with a band of showers racing through. They should taper off later this afternoon. Early showers this evening, then partly cloudy and breezy overnight, getting down into the low 40s. Tomorrow, partly sunny and windy with a high in the lower 50s. Partly to mostly cloudy, windy, and cooler tomorrow night, lower 30s. And for Saturday, gusty wind continue. It'll be mostly sunny, though. Highs only in the upper 40s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
WTBQ.
Welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller, Director of Education, A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Feller. And we also have Hannah Plummer, who is the Director of Patient Services in the New York City office. How are you, Hannah? Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Hannah.
Okay,
Hannah, let me have a closing question for you. Is there a cure for diabetes?
There's no cure right now. Just treatment.
Right.
Okay.
Treatment and control. Control of your blood sugar.
Yeah.
Diabetes, is a lifelong disease. The reality is that there is no cure. However, there are treatments, including simple things you can do every day that can make a difference.
Okay.
It's about controlling the amount of sugar in your bloodstream.
Okay. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for calling in. I know you're very busy, but we'll be in touch, okay?
Thank you, Hannah.
I'll talk to you later.
Happy Home Healthcare Month, okay?
All right,
Hannah, thank you. We have a caller on the line. Good morning, and welcome to Health Matters. What is your first name, and where are you calling from?
My name is Gail, and I'm calling from Florida, New York.
Yes, Florida, New York. Oh, I heard Florida. Oh, yeah, because I know. I always love that. I want to take that picture. Gail, thank you so much for calling. Give me your comment or question.
Well, I've been a diabetic for 20-some years, mm-hmm. and I'm always confused with the diet. Could you guys talk about what would be the best diet? I've tried paleo, I've tried carbs, and it's just all so confusing.
You know, one of the things that we talked about in the beginning was about the carbs. You know, it's about the carbohydrates, I think, and watching your carbohydrates, I think, is one of the most important things to do. Because no matter what meal, if you eat between 45 and 60 grams of carbohydrates per meal, no matter what the source, and carbohydrates not only include starches, but it also includes, you know, fruits and whole grains.
And all the stuff that's good for you.
And I mean, things that you think are good, but if you're overdoing sugary, you know, fruit, apples and pears and bananas and... You know, so that is also a carbohydrate. So you always have to include that when you're counting your carbohydrates.
Yeah, I know that they have like an exchange system, Gail. Are you familiar with that? That if you've had one thing as far as like the different exchanges as far as monitoring. But I know that what people don't understand is that when you're so diabetic, they shouldn't have anything with sugar and all that stuff. But they don't realize that when you consume carbohydrates, be it bread, potatoes,
pasta, rice.
When you digest it, it breaks down and then it turns into a sugar. That's why they talk about simple carbohydrates.
And, you know, it's so hard because, I mean, for me, I'm like a pretty big carboholic.
Yeah, that's me too.
I got to keep track of it. I was reading something recently about making noodles out of zucchini and making a pasta sauce that goes with it. So you're getting that same feeling for that carbohydrate pasta, but so you're enjoying it. So it's some, you know, those are good things to think about. I know there's a lot of different books and such out there. And
There's so many.
There's so much.
What about like the fat content? Because I heard like, resistance is your cells are full of fat.
Well,
you need to get rid of the fat.
That's right, because the fat actually holds the sugar.
Okay.
So when you have more fat, then your sugar is sticking to it.
Okay.
So it's staying there. Is that a good way to explain it?
Yeah, like, even like with your cholesterol level.
Right,
like
that's why they talk about your cholesterol and your triglycerides.
Triglycerides, yes.
They always check the triglycerides, which is another type of a sugar fat.
Well, thank you so much.
Gail, thank you for your call. 27 years, but really, good 20 luck. And that's what's important. Like, the sooner you get diagnosed, the better you can have the treatment and maintaining, you know, a healthy lifestyle. And those are the things, a lot of times it may be obvious, but the thing to remember is that you just have to be consistent. It isn't something that you can do a couple of weeks and then stop. It's something that you have to do lifelong. And we want to thank you so much for your call, Gail.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for the program. It's great.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
So like we said, there is no cure for diabetes, but there are things you can do, and keeping control of your blood sugar is important. And sometimes when you go to your physician, they also might recommend that you see a nutritionist or a dietitian to help you, especially when you're first diagnosed. And really, after being a diabetic for many years, you do not forget necessarily, but you might need to be reminded, or maybe see that there's some other things out there. Like, I thought that was very interesting, making spaghetti out of zucchini. It's some kind of machine, I guess, that you can slice it up in your food processor and it comes out like julienne style, and then you toss it with pasta sauce and you feel like you're having spaghetti, which, it's hard for people to give up those regular things that they enjoy. So, those are things to keep in mind.
Okay, let's go over some of the risk. First, before we get into the risk factors, I want to go over something as far as like where, making a diagnosis. A lot of times, is what they're talking about is that your blood sugar level, and they're saying a normal fasting blood sugar, meaning that you haven't had anything to eat for over 8 hours, is between 70 and 99. Now, let me just share something with you, is that they keep lowering the numbers. It used to be 80 to 109 of fasting blood sugar. So many times I'm telling you, well, my blood work, but many times my fasting blood sugar would be like 102, and it used to be normal, but now they're saying it's like a pre-diabetic. And I think what it is they want people to be more mindful of it, that if you're a pre-diabetic, and again, it doesn't mean that you're going to become a diabetic, but it just means that you have to pay attention, and you can stay at that point, or you can actually reverse it, but it doesn't mean that once you have that particular blood sugar that there's a problem. But let's talk a little bit, Ann, about what the risk factors are. Let's start with type 1.
Okay, well, type 1 diabetes, of course, the risk factors are a family history, diseases of the pancreas, and infection or illness. Some illnesses could damage your pancreas, and that would cause you to no longer make insulin. Type 1 diabetes usually starts at childhood. That's why they used to call it childhood diabetes.
Yep.
Actually, we have a friend with childhood diabetes, and so that means your pancreas stops making insulin. So that's a little different and not as common as type 1 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is, what is seen more often. It is the most common form of diabetes.
Type 2.
If you have type 2 diabetes, your body can't always use the insulin it makes. You're still producing insulin. And it usually affects adults, and it can begin at any time in your life. Often things like being obese or overweight.
And that's the top reason that they're saying.
Right, that is the top reason. And I know there's some discussion about, I think I read yesterday about putting a tax on sugary snacks.
The snacks. They tried it with the soda.
The government is trying to regulate what we're eating. And
right, I know it's called like the nanny. It's like the nanny state. Well, I think that's what Mayor Bloomberg was, where they stopped
when
all these things.
The
but guess what?
Right, the
there is a good outcome
drinks,
at the end of it. But even like
but
with
they
children,
do because they see that this is can be when you talk about I forget what the number was right now, but the number of people by the year 2050 that would, be diagnosed with diabetes was quite considerably high.
And I know, and we are concerned as far as like with childhood obesity. I know people are always on the internet and doing that stuff and playing these games, and they're not outside.
Right, they're sedentary.
Yeah, sedentary.
You're not getting enough exercise.
And that's what's always important. I know, like, the NFL is very big on exercise. You do 60 minutes of exercise each day.
Diabetes happens more often, as we said earlier, in Hispanic Americans, African Americans, Native Americans, Asian, Pacific Islanders, and Alaskan Natives. So that's just something to keep in mind. If you have high blood pressure over 140 over 90, low HDL, which is the good cholesterol, and high levels of triglycerides. And we said sedentary lifestyle. Also family history if your parent or siblings have been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And of course, if your age is over 45 and you're overweight, you should be screened.
Okay. We were talking about cholesterol and the screening. I know, like, they've really, the old days, it used to just be, you had a cholesterol level, but then they found that was meaningless. Now they have the HDL, which is the good cholesterol, and then they have the LDL, which is the bad cholesterol, and they just have a lot more information. And can you tell our listeners about, there was a new test as far as that is done as far as people who may be diagnosed with diabetes, that really is more meaningful than just getting a snapshot of your blood sugar.
We talk about the fasting blood sugar, but now more often, and it's probably been, 10 or 15 years, that they've been testing the hemoglobin. The hemoglobin A1C test, which is, it's an important test, and it shows how controlled your sugar is. And this is... it's the sugar that's in your hemoglobin, in your red blood cells, right? Yeah.
What is the information?
It shows the blood sugar control over the past 2 to 3 months.
Wow.
So you really, you can't cheat on it. You really have to be in control because it will detect the amount of glucose levels that have been high over the recent weeks. So... when diabetes is not controlled, meaning your blood sugar is too high, the sugar builds up in your blood and combines with your hemoglobin, and that will be detected with this test.
It was funny, and you were talking about that. I always said this about many times when you're seeing your doctor, is that let's say you schedule an appointment for like next month or something like that, then you start behaving yourself. When I say behaving yourself, watching what you're eating, what you're drinking, that sort of stuff, and then you go, oh, everything is fine. Where something like this you can't do, this is over like a two or three month period, and it's a lot more accurate in the sense that it's more definitive of what the problems are. You're listening to Health Matters on WTBQ. My name is Peter Fella, and when we come back, we'll be talking about ways in which you can manage your diabetes.
Are you an RN or an LPN, caregiver or aide, and want to be part of a first-class, full-service home healthcare agency? Then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342. High standards of care from pediatric to adult patients need your TLC. You are dependable, compassionate, honest, and sensitive to the needs of others. Whether you are highly skilled or wanting to learn, A&T has the finest training program in the tri-state area. And if you'd like to be part of the number one home healthcare agency that makes a difference every day in so many lives, then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342 today or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Stacey Lawrence of the Greenwood Lake Garden Center here with my co-host,
Kevin Sweeney of the Windermere Agency.
We would love it if you all would join us every Friday from 11 to 12 on WTBQ for Greenwood Lake Radio.
All Greenwood Lake, all the time.
Hi, this is Dan Castricone. Join me every Thursday at 12:30 for the Dan Castricone Radio Show. We'll take your phone calls, have exciting guests, talk about current events, maybe a little politics. Thursdays at 12:30 on WTBQ. Radio worth listening to.
WTBQ, you're feeling all right. You're listening to Health Matters, and that's what we're by because your health does matter. My name is Peter Feller, Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and I'm here with my wife, Ann Feller. And what we're talking about today, November, is many things going on in November, but it is also a Diabetes Awareness Month, and that's as That is our topic that we were talking about. We've gone over a lot of the details as far as what the risk factors are, how it might be diagnosed, about the importance. Like we said, there was over like 7 million people that have not been diagnosed, that are actually diabetics but haven't been diagnosed about it, that they're going around. And as we said, the importance of being diagnosed and starting a treatment and management, that's the key to a healthy lifestyle. But right now we'd want to talk a little bit about how is diabetes managed. And one of the key things is that there's no cure. We've already said that. We've said how, I know Hannah gave that response about, like, there's no cure, but it can be managed. And as I said, it is a chronic disease that you're going to have for an extended period of time. You can't control, you can't cure it, but you can control it. But one of the important things is that the simple stuff we talked about, the blood sugar levels, is that keeping the blood sugar levels as near to normal as possible by balancing your food intake along with your medication and activity. But everything is hand in hand with activity and how much you're eating. Okay, the medication, as I said, may be necessary. And I think that was one of the questions that you asked me earlier, Ann, is that you don't necessarily have to be on the insulin for your rest of your life. But as I said, you have to discuss this with your doctor as far as what would be the best way of proceeding. You always have to make sure of your cholesterol and triglycerides. That's the other component. Everything is all tied in, it seems. It has like your high blood pressure, your cholesterol. Those are all the things, and you want to make sure that avoiding saturated fat and cholesterol, and also controlling your blood pressure. They have done that so much, and I think that's what's important, is that they've changed what is considered high blood pressure, what is considered high.
Right, they treat it much sooner now.
Yeah.
Blood pressure, normal blood pressure should be 130 over 80. There was a time when it was like 140 over something.
Like 100. I always remember the diastolic was like 100.
If you were consistently over 90, I think, on the lower number, you were considered to be have high blood pressure. Now they certainly treat it much sooner and with a lower standard.
So. Mm-hmm. I know Gail had called up, and she had a question from Florida. Gail from Florida. She called up, and she had a question about what the different meals and that sort of stuff. And that is very important. One of the things about nutrition, I know we did have Marsha Rappaport. She was one of our nutritionists that was on. One of the key things that we have an advantage is that we have the labels now. This is something that the FDA has said, that you have to write down the content of the food that you're eating. And that's one of the easy indicators to determine if something is high in sugar or not. And a lot of times it is driven by what is said on the carbohydrates component. Okay, granted, you do have the simple sugar component, but it also is written down as far as like with the carbohydrates. So really just being mindful of that when you're preparing foods, just to see what's necessary. I know fruit is always good. That can be a lot of sugar in the fruit. But as I say, that's healthy, because with fruit, you do have the fiber, which also is good. But exercise, we always say that exercise is always a part of it. We talked about exercise. It doesn't have to be that you're running a marathon or you're doing some extended physical activity, but really just going for a brisk walk. I know we talked last week on a seasonal affective disorder. I know it's getting a little bit darker at night. If you are walking in the evening, make sure you have a flashlight and you're doing it in a safe manner. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that, now it's wintertime and I can't do any kind of exercise.
Right. It's important to keep your appointments with your healthcare provider and have your laboratory tests as recommended by your doctor. Remember, what you do at home every day affects your blood pressure more than what your doctor can do in just a few minutes of a checkup. So.
And that's we say, whenever you have your doctor's appointment, that's another thing. I think we talk about this so often, is that you really, the doctors are kind of rushed for the time that they're doing. So you really have to make sure everything's in order. So when we start talking about the symptoms that we talked about, these are all things that you have written down. So when you do see your doctor, gee, doctor, I've noticed this. And as I said, there can be like a pre-diabetic, meaning that, you know, you're not a diabetic, but it may be like a warning sign that you should be doing something. And that's why that's all right. Part of, if anything that Health Matters gets through to you, is that you have to have regular doctor's appointments as far as like monitoring things like that. And just be aware of it. And we did say about the family history, if anyone has known anyone in their family that might have been a diabetic or something like that, that's something that you really should be monitoring yourself.
Right, you should be in tune to it. Absolutely. So just another reminder, stress can make your blood sugar levels soar as well. So make time to do things you enjoy. Connect with friends and family. And one thing we haven't mentioned, make it a priority to try to stop smoking.
Oh, boy.
If you're a smoker. Smoking just complicates diabetes, includes nerve damage, foot problems, eye problems, heart problems, kidney problems. So
that's as bad, but everything is that's what I'm saying. Everything is tied in as far as with your hypertension, right. your blood sugar. These are all things that are tied into it, and you know, smoking is really front and center with all that, and even I know that New York State, the Department of Health, they have all these different things that are available to help stop smoking, and it's really something that I think the secret was when I was young is they said don't start. That was always the best information is that you don't start. The other thing that we want to talk about, even going back to the meals now, is that. You always like how much your portions are. A lot of times people don't realize that. They read the label. Go back to the labels now. The labels may say, oh, gee, there's only 50 calories or such and such per serving. But then if you look at the bottle, it may actually be 3 servings per bottle. And that's really where you get thrown off. The other thing, when they say like 8 ounces or something like that, a lot of times people don't realize how much an actual serving is. And that's one of the things that you have to be careful of. And one of the things I know they always say is that don't have a big plate. When you have a big plate, you're more apt to put more food on it.
And try to put your veggies on first and your lean meat before you put your starches. That can be helpful.
Right. They say have the plate and then just, divide it in half.
Half should be vegetables.
Half can be all vegetables, but it doesn't mean that you're going to laden it with butter and salt and pepper and stuff like that. Those are all
what
the things that
we have coming
up
next Thanksgiving. We'll be talking about that.
Yes. We've got a good program scheduled for Thanksgiving.
We did talk about checking your blood sugar. A lot of people have glucose, blood sugar, test machines at home. Couple things to remember, always check your strips, make sure that they're not compromised, that they're not expired, and usually the manufacturer recommends that you test your meter with a control solution. If you're getting an unusual reading, you might want to check your machine, make sure it's functioning properly. When you have new strips, you want to be sure that, you've tested your machine and they're working
properly. Because many times that reading is predicated on what kind of insulin you're going to be taking and things like that.
Right, you might be adjusting your treatment based on that. And if your machine becomes compromised, if it gets dropped or it gets wet or anything like that, always test it before you use it. Keep that in mind. Couple other things that affect blood sugar, of course, is alcohol.
Alcohol. We were raining on everyone's parade now with all this gloom and doom.
No, don't be gloom and doom. If you're going to have a glass of wine, if that's part of your plan, you have to also include that in your calorie and count, all right? If you're sick, test your blood sugar more often and be sure that you stay well hydrated. And remember, when you're traveling different time zones sometimes can affect your schedule. So be sure to test your blood sugar and before and after meals.
Okay, we just want to keep harping on the importance of having a healthy lifestyle, having regular doctor visits, exercising, proper nutrition. All those things go a long way, and that's what's important. And this was November, it's Diabetes Awareness Month. We gave you a lot of information. But as I said, you know, a lot of this information, just go online, you know, the American Diabetes Association, and you can hear like additional information on it. But please, it is important, and that's part of what we're doing at Health Matters, is we want to make sure that you're aware of these things, how the symptoms of it, and how, more importantly, is prevention. We always try to come back to prevention because I think that's always important. Anything else? And in closing, it sounds, we're out of time. And,
One of the things that you said was, you know, you don't always recognize these symptoms, and going for your regular checkups with your physician is important.
Okay. Well, as I always say, you follow us on Facebook and A&T Healthcare. And as I say to you, your family and friends, I wish you all the best. And we'll see you next week on Health Matters. Have a good one. Yeah.